I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me as ever, my good friend and compatriot, Rob Langevin. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Kevin? What's going on, people in the fake universes of fantasy land? Thanks for coming by and joining us for another week of FPL fantasy action, which is kind of redundant when you say that FPL fantasy because the F is already fantasy.
Ooh.
So I'm, you know, it's like home sweet home.
Isn't there a word for those? Where it's like ATM machine or PIN number?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Redundant? I mean, just redundant. It's redundant. I mean, I'm just being redundant. It's not being redundant because I could have spoken a more clarifying way to actually not say it where it was FPL and said fantasy again. But, you know, whatever.
Oh, my gosh. It's a phenomenon that's called PNS syndrome. And the S in PNS syndrome stands for syndrome. It's an example of itself.
There you go.
That's pretty awesome.
An example of itself. There you go.
That's terrific. I really, really enjoy that far more than I should. All right, we're going to get into all the fantasy goodness today. There have been some injuries, obviously some rises and fallers. We'll do start sits, all that fun stuff. But I have an interesting question for you for the top of the show.
Sure, go.
This is brought to us by the fact that Andre Gray is back and available this week, and this has very little to do with his performance on the pitch. There is a woman in one of my fantasy American football leagues that will never draft players that have been accused of like domestic abuse or rape or anything like that. So my question for you is, to start on a heavy-handed note, do you apply any sense of external morality on your fantasy team? Like, If Ben Roethlisberger was ever actually convicted of doing any things he was accused of, would you then no longer be willing to put him into your team? And similarly, with Andre Gray dealing with all the kind of hateful things he said, now he's done the suspension. Does that cause you any pause?
No. Until what Andre Gray did is a negative stat for me, it's pointless for me to even – if the guy can play fantasy and be significantly better than someone I have at my fantasy team, then I'm going to roster him in my fantasy team. I'm not looking at what he's done off the pitch and apply it to my fake virtual pitch that I look on my computer and be like, point a finger at him, be like, no, you're bad, sir. You go in the corner. No, that doesn't happen. No, if Andre Gray is better than somebody I think is on my team and I think he can help my fantasy team be better than I was, he's going to be in my team. He unfortunately isn't going to be better than anybody that's in my team currently because he's hot garbage. But I don't have any morality clauses on my team. Listen, I'll take murderers, I'll take stealers, I'll take arsonists, vagrants, I'll take vagabonds, winos, I don't care, whatever, anybody. As long as I'm invited to the winos party, that's all I care about.
All right, fair enough. I think I tend to agree, although like super not thrilled with him as a human being, I do think that we get to avoid having to decide on this because, as you mentioned, he has not been fantastic. I was looking through the stats earlier today, and perhaps unsurprisingly, he's doing much worse against Premier League opposition than he was against Championship opposition last year. All right, a couple of little news and notes kinds of things. Moussa Sissoko elbowed Harry Arter straight in the face. He's out for 3 games. Don't really think that affects much other than I think it solidifies Lamella's playing time.
Well, you know why that happened, right? Because Harry was on the sideline. He looked at Moussa and he goes, I bet you couldn't hit me any harder.
He's got bants, folks.
I got some good old jokes.
That's pretty great. Pretty solid. Also, podcast favorite, Completely blanked on him. Snodgrass is going to be out for a month, but he hasn't really done anything in a month, so I suppose there are worse things. I feel like there was somebody else that I'm forgetting about. Couldn't tell you. But, you know, people get hurt sometimes. It's just a facet of fantasy. Alderweireld should be back for Tottenham this weekend. Kane probably back, maybe not this weekend, but probably for the Arsenal match following. And that's that's it for injuries, even though I only mentioned like one person and forgot the other one. So now we can move quickly along into start-sit so we can bury that hellscape that I just crafted
Let's do price changes first. We'll do price changes first.
Oh, yeah. Do price changes, man.
Yeah, we'll do price changes. Kevin's trying to skip over my time.
It was an awkward escape. I was just trying to move on from the fact that I tried to add injuries as a segment and could only think of one.
You just want all the mic to yourself. All I need is one mic. You're like Nas. Nas right now.
Dude, that is the greatest thing anyone's ever said about me, so thank you very much.
But so anyway, I digress and move into the price changes of the week with some little tidbits about some ups and downs. Like usual, everybody at home, if this is your first podcast, shame on you. We're awesome. You should be here more often.
Eric Baillet is the other one. Sorry. And I'm just making this worse. Just keep going.
There you go. And if anybody's on the usual, you know, they come around, you know what the price change is all about. Basically talk about guys on the up, guys on the down. Guys in the upper, people being transferred in more. Guys in the down probably suck, injured, or are just fantasy useless. So guys on the up this week. We'll start in the back. Lee Grant, the Stoke keeper, seems like he's solidified his role there. You know, the best thing about Lee Grant is he's the best $4 princess goalkeeper I can think of right now, even though he's 4.1 now. He was four before, but now it ruined my joke. But, Kev, look at Stoke's upcoming games. Swansea, West Ham, Bournemouth, Watford, Burnley. Those are the next five games. There's probably only one matchup in there I would say that they may have difficulty with, and that's probably the West Ham game defensively, because you know West Ham does have some star talent, and they can find the net, though they can't protect their own net. So anybody looking for a cheap entry-level goalie and they're moving away from the Pickfords and anybody else in their fantasy roster, take a look at Lee Grant and their upcoming fixtures. I know after those five, it gets a little shaky. I think they play Arsenal and the likes of the fantasy giants. So it gets a little shaky, but at 4.1, you really can't go wrong.
The only interesting note there is that Butland has returned to training this week. I don't think he'll be starting the next couple of weeks, but he could be back in the frame soon. So just kind of keep that in mind.
Oh, absolutely. I don't foresee him coming in before the Bournemouth game. That's 3 weeks. So you still get three usable games out of Lee Grant at 4.1. Also on the up, defenseman Laurent Koscielny is the highest scoring defender. Last three games, 8-1-15. Arsenal are kind of up and down defensively. But if you're looking for a stalwart in the back for you, look at the 6.4 Koscielny. Their upcoming fixtures, Sunderland, Spurs, Man U, not awesome. But, you know, you're if you have him in your team, you're not going to sit Laurent Koscielny against basically anybody, because he does add a goal, you know, goal-scoring threat for you. He's basically like, you know, he's not quite Scotty Dan. Nobody's Scotty Dan. But, I mean, he gives you that effect. Also on the up, Jan Vertonghen, it's probably going to end this week with Toby coming back, as Kevin mentioned previously. I think the buyers are loading up on him because of, you know, he was useful and Spurs are semi-useful. I just had to say semi because Kevin's a Spurs fan. But with Toby coming back, I think it saps his value and his ownership. Also on the up, Charlie Daniels, Bournemouth, we love him. He's a fan favorite of this show. I love the devil went down to Georgia. I'm surprised that he could still run up and down the pitch. He's 71 years old, people. Charlie Daniels.
That gold violin, you'd really think it'd weigh him down.
Yeah. It would totally wear him down. Well, I don't even know where he puts it. I know where he puts it.
Oh, anyway. Oh, man. Oh. All right.
All right. We derailed a little bit.
Oh, man.
All right. Anyway. So, Theo Walcott, also on the up. He's the highest scoring. Kev, if I said to you right now, I said, after 9 weeks of the Premier League season, Theo Walcott is going to be the leading fantasy scorer, what would you say to me besides saying, I'll take another shot?
I don't think I'd be able to say anything. I think I'd just laugh until I died.
Yeah, Theo's sitting on 58 points. He's 1 point ahead of everyone else in the scoring leaderboard. Yeah, so anybody who predicted that by week 9 and you put a couple shekels on it as a bet, congratulations, Theo.
Also, anybody that claims that they did that, shut up and sit down because you know you're lying.
You're a liar. Your name is Liar.
And you know it.
Yeah. So Philippe Coutinho, the better, best, and most efficient Liverpool midfielder, not named Bobby Digital. But no, that's a string of contention between me and Kevin. He's probably still going to say Firmino. I'm still going to say Coutinho.
Mm-hmm.
I think this next guy is probably better than all of them because he's basically the Welsh Pirlo. Joe Allen went up again. Nasser Chadli went up for West Brom. And then we move on to the forwards. It's a threesome that I can see a pattern forming with Costa, Lukaku, and Charlie Austin. Now, Kevin, I was listening to a podcast just this morning, and
were you cheating on us?
No, okay. Definitely not. No, they're not us, dude. They talk funny and have really bad accents, and it's really badly like transitioned into like cuts and stuff. I'm not gonna say who it is because they know who they are and they suck. But yeah, so their big strain of contention in the whole show was what to do with Sergio Aguero at his price tag, Kevin. Once you factor in your starting 11, and basically if you own Sergio Aguero, you're starting Sergio Aguero at his price tag at 13 dot whatever he is right now, 13.1, 13.2, whatever he is currently. Considering that if you go with minimums on your bench at $4 million for all four spots, you're left with $84 million on your team of starting 11. With Sergio Aguero taking up 13.1 of that, is it worth having Sergio Aguero take up 16% of your starting 11 roster? Currently.
Yeah, I did this last year and I got burned so hard. I just can't ever doubt him again. Will I continue holding on to him forever? No, especially if he kind of goes goalless the next couple of weeks. But I can't firmly stand against Aguero because whenever I do that will be when it starts being wrong. Yeah. This is kind of like Alexis last season, where just every time we were really ready to buy in, he started being awful. Every time we were like, sell him, he started picking up form again. I'm just too scared of Aguero to advise dropping him.
Are you turned off by the benching?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. And Iheanacho is actually better per minute.
Better per dollar, too.
Oh, easily. It's so hard to buy somebody
that doesn't isn't start. Starting. Yeah. But do you think it's in the realm of possibilities? You know, I'm not too familiar with Pep's, you know, history of single striker, double striker. Do you think it's in the realm of possibility that City this weekend could strut out Aguero and Iheanacho on the same pitch?
Interesting. If you were going to do it against a team, West Brom's probably one of the ones you do it against. You aren't too worried about their attack. You know, you can get forward a fair bit. I don't really know who you'd take out. It kind of depends on De Bruyne, who may or may not be injured. It's kind of vague at the moment.
Well, City did run three defenders last game. Yeah. So
in theory, there's space. I wouldn't expect it, though. And that's the problem, is you'd need to see it once before buying in. Mm-hmm. But it might only happen that once. So it's just so hard, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely a conundrum, and it's a fantasy conundrum because People, the ownership for Aguero is so massive right now, and the hits that people are taking because, you know, when he doesn't score for 3 weeks in a row and he gives you actually one total point the last three games because two minus one and a one, you know, and then there's two games before he actually scored the two goals where he didn't play because of injury. So his return on people's investment is pretty bad right now. I think everybody's pretty much expecting it to be an everyday, you know, go out and hit a home run, Sergio Aguero, and it's just not happening. So I think that's what's causing people to at least shudder a little bit and think about their fantasy roster a little bit. And I think that's why the Diego Costa ownership has shot up the way it has. And I think in correlation, I think that's why the Lukaku ownership has shot up like it has as well, because everybody's off the Ibrahimovic bandwagon. Everybody knows that the $11 million that you had invested him is being dispersed everywhere. Look at the midfield ownerships currently. You know, Sanchez and Walcott and Coutinho and De Bruyne are all up. They're all up across the board ownership-wise, even though De Bruyne is injured currently. But everyone has gone up ownership-wise in anywhere between 2 and 6% this past week already. So what would you – I mean, Kevin, look, because we never really divulge into, like, people's rosters and tinkering. If you're an Aguero owner, are you panicking and transferring him out?
I'm not. I'm, yes, panicking, but, B, not transferring him out.
Okay. That's fair enough. I mean, I'm just trying to get a grasp on, you know, you're an integral part of the fantasy community, as am I. You know, people lend their ear to us, and I tend to agree with what you're saying. I don't think that Aguero is a panic button move, because there's nobody that you're really going to replace him with that has the impact that he could have. You know, it's like putting, you know, tires on a Ford Pinto, nice tires on a Ford Pinto on your roster. Yeah, it's still a Ford Pinto, but it has nice tires. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So anyway, those are my random snippets for the price ups. On the price downs.
Sorry, before you move on, I need to take back what I said last week about Joe Allen. He is now actually playing in a more advanced role where Bojan used to play. So when I said I didn't like him because of positioning, then it changed. So just thought I should mention that.
Totally. So price downs this week are Simone Mignolet. I think it's important because I've heard some whispers. He may get the next start because Loris Karius has not been awesome. He's got his last four games, 2-2, 6-2. I know a lot of that is proponent on, I think Liverpool is just trying to outscore their opponent and not worry about how many they let in. Also on the down, Leighton Baines can't seem to stay healthy since from like 2 years ago. It's a shame. He's a quality fantasy player and a contributor. Anybody who owns Leighton Baines, I'm telling you, just shift your Everton funds and go for Seamus Coleman. You'll probably be better off for it because I think Seamus Coleman is what Baines gives you fantasy-wise. Coleman gives it to you in another way. He's a streaking down the side, wide side player, gives you occasional goals, whereas Baines was a set-piece taker, gives you assists. So it's kind of a wash, but at Coleman's price, he's cheaper than Baines. So look in that direction if you are looking for some salvation from the Leighton Baines conundrum. Luke Shaw on the down, I think it's interesting. With no Bailly for at least a month, United may be struggling to find some, you know, some, what's the word I'm looking for here? Some,
I can't. Good.
Good.
They should try to be good.
Athleticism. How's that? Some athleticism from the back four.
No.
So, I mean, they may be looking otherwise. They may be looking at the next guy I'm going to say who also went down. Timothy Fosu-Mensah was great last year at stretches for them at his price tag. His price tag is a little more inflated now, but just like I said, no buys, so somebody may want to jump in on him and pay the minimum to get a United defender if they trust that United can be the clean sheet maven that they used to be. Interesting one. Since Kevin just mentioned Toby going possibly being fit for this weekend, Toby Alvaro went down this week. It's a great thing for people who want to reinvest in the Spurs, you know, center keystone. You know, you save a buck, you save a penny, go for it. Also on the downs, Willian at 7-2. You know, he's still dealing with some family issues, and Chelsea is moving on without him. Pedro had a phenomenal game in his stead. Everybody in the midfield there was playing well. Hazard played well. You know, even N'Golo Kante got in and made people look stupid. So that's basically what you're looking at Willian, whose ownership in the beginning of the year was pretty high for a player of what he was, kind of a let's see what he can do kind of thing. And we basically have seen what he can do through 9 weeks. I know he hasn't played because of his death in the family, but I would think it's time to move on from him. Interesting guy who also went down is Andres Townsend. Listen, he's not the official game kind of player. If you're playing in other formats with Andres Townsend, you're probably like, yes, I own Andres Townsend. But in the official game, he's just not getting the tallies, and Crystal Palace doesn't do anything for him defensively to give him any kind of bonus points. So he's just not getting assists. He's not getting goals. Kevin, since we do talk about Plate Taga, I mean, Andres Townsend is basically like a top, I would say top, what, 20 player in Plate Taga because of his ancillary stats. Do you think that eventually it'll correlate over to the official game, or do you think he's just basically what he is and what we're seeing is because Crystal Palace is just a mediocre bunch of fantasy assets?
Oh, it's just so frustrating. Crystal Palace has so much fantasy potential right now, and they just need to kind of convert it into anything meaningful. I do think that Townsend will regress a little bit in the Tauga thing, but improve a little bit in this. I just think he's kind of at extremes in both. Benteke, you know, put it off the crossbar last week, missed a penalty the week before. So, you know, you're pretty close to things starting to roll. They're just having some difficulties at the moment. I'm probably, because, you know, both of us were pretty big on buying in on Townsend a couple weeks ago. Liverpool not great defensively, but and you got to figure Benteke scores against Liverpool. It just seems poetic. I think Mark mentioned as such when he came on our show last time.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't mind Townsend. Like, if I own him, I'm probably not actively trying to ship him out. But if I don't own him, I'm not actively trying to bring him in. I think, you know, we'll start to see some kind of normalization of some of those stats. But, man, the Townsend thing's rough. Also, you were mentioning some of the wingbacks. I thought it was interesting that pretty much all the significant follows this week were wingers or wingbacks. You have Cedric, Yanmat, Baines, and Shaw, who are all missing or dealing with injury stuff, than William Sterling and Townsend. I just thought that was an interesting, weird aside thing. But yeah, with Townsend, I'm fine with Townsend. I just don't want to peddle him as much as we had been recently, but I do think his fantasy points will kind of uptick soon in the official game.
Yeah, it's got it. I mean, he's contributing way too many. Look at his successful successful crosses in the box and what he contributes on the build up there. He's doing enough, but it's just not showing in the official game. So be patient, Andre Townsend owners, and or don't be patient. Keep dropping him so the price goes below six, and we'll all buy in then.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, Riyad Mahrez now at 9.1. He's fallen four times this year already because he started at 9.5. Kevin, is there a comfortable price that you'd actually buy into a Riyad Mahrez?
Nope. Not right now. Either. I don't trust this Leicester team at all.
Yeah, if it was maybe 8.5, I would maybe consider it, but I don't think I would. Raheem Sterling went down. I think people are shifting around their funds and got scared off because De Bruyne came back. I think they were afraid that he was going to steal Raheem's juice. So he went down. Couple other ones. Matt Phillips went down for West Brom. Kind of a sneaky, significant player in other formats. I figured I'd give him a mention. He's at 5.2 now. He does a lot for the West Brom on a wide side, especially in DFS formats. He's a money player because he just contributes enough and his price is cheap. And also another West Brom guy. I needed a forward in here, and it's the only one that really went down of significance. Solomon Rondon is at 6.6. You know, I think people are sick of what West Brom is doing besides giving up goals in the 80th plus minute. There's cheaper options at the similar price tag at 6.6. You know, you got Austin there at 6.6. You got Callum Wilson. I'd rather take a flyer on a Callum Wilson on an upstart Bournemouth team that actually can find the net, whereas a West Brom team that looks like a one and done in a game. What's your take on that? If you had to pick one now for the rest of the season, Rondon, Austin, Callum Wilson, Kev.
Austin, because yeah, we've seen it before.
I agree. I think Austin is good in stretches. Wilson is good in spurts, and Rondon is good for medium to distance. That makes sense. If they all ended with 12 goals, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, it wouldn't be anything that would surprise me.
Yeah. Also, I feel like Wilson might score in bursts. So even though he could end up around, like in the group with those other two, his would probably be the most frustrating because you'd have
bust
weeks.
Yeah. He'd be a guy that would be like that first sub, I think. I think you'd have to have...
Yeah. He's one of those guys that'll get you points on your bench, and you'll just be like, ah.
Yeah, you'd need a good rotation partner with a fifth midfielder for a Callum Wilson roster.
That's actually really interesting. Yeah, if you found a midfielder with a nice complementary schedule, maybe it would be more worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that finishes off price ups and price downs. But I want to ask Kevin one more question. Or should we take a break? Let's take a break.
Okay,
let's take a commercial break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We did it. We took a commercial break. Yeah, I don't think we have any ads currently running in the U.S. So if you're really confused right now, that's why. I do think we have an ad campaign running in the U.K. right now for Casper mattresses. So let us know if that's actually what just happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Go buy a Casper mattress.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I was talking with one of my mates. I'm going to go on a little side story here. I was talking with one of my mates, and he doesn't follow English soccer at all. I know. I don't. Why do I have a friend that doesn't follow English soccer? Strange question. Answered and finished. But I was just – he's like, oh, so who's doing well in the – he was just trying to figure out and learn about the you know, the English Premier League. And I was telling him some of the teams, and he's like – he looks at me, and it's funny because you said Casper mattresses. He's like, every one of those sounds like a really luxurious mattress. Like every – yeah, I'm on the Chelsea mattress or the – I'm on the West Ham or I'm on the Crystal Palace. Everyone sounds like a luxurious model of a mattress, and then until you get to Hull, and it sounds like you're sleeping on like a dumpster.
This is, I hope, not racist. But when I was at my favorite Italian place in New York, which, by the way, is called Via della Pace. It's on 2nd
and 7th. That's racist, man. That's racist.
Go there, please. It's amazing food, great bartending. It's really dope. But I was mentioning that when I was first getting into football, one of my first thoughts when I watched the Italian team is that all their names sounded delicious.
Like they all sound like macaroni.
Really?
Yeah, they all sound like macaroni.
Huh. Like, if you offered me, like, Chiellini al fresco, I'd be like, yo, give me so many of that, please. Yeah. Anyway, like, Marchisio, all of them. Except Buffon, really.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm like, yeah, give me a bowl of Buffon soup.
Actually, as a soup or a dessert, I think you could pull it off.
Yeah, yeah, maybe like it's like a popover with powder, and it probably takes bets on the side.
Yeah. But you know, if you had, like... pesto balatelli. You'd be like, there you go. Oh yeah, hell yeah, man! I'd eat a whole plate of that.
Slightly. So that'll finish up the price ups and downs. And I had one more question, but none of these guys went price up, price down. So I wanted to pop it out before we got into our start sits, which is the highlight of our program. Kevin, I've done a lot of rest of season stuff because I know it's only week 10 and people are trying to plan, but. From now until, you know, New Year's, they play an excessive amount of games. There's no more breaks, and they have a scrunched up schedule around Boxing Day and around, you know, New Year's. When do you start looking ahead to that point to set up your roster?
Interesting. Wow. Well, you saying it right now makes me feel like I should panic and that it's soon.
I'm trying to be a friend and tell you that it's becoming a problem that you're not noticing.
I appreciate that. Probably a month-ish in advance, so mid-November.
Like American Thanksgiving-ish?
A little earlier. One week before that. How about that? Because then you can kind of plan out your transfers over that period. Also,
Veterans Day, then?
If you were smarter than me and you managed to hold on to your wild card, that would be an excellent time to really capitalize on the final weeks of 2016.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I don't think there's many people that are, you know, in the know that haven't used their wild card already. I think people have.
Yeah, this year hasn't gone to script much.
I think it's with the random way that the season has started and the amount of players that have blossomed up and then sat back down, and others have blossomed up and they sat back down. I think that it's probably, I don't know the percentages and numbers, but I guarantee the numbers for wild card use is well over 50% already.
Yeah, could be.
Okay, and then I got one more final question. I'm full of questions today.
Okay.
You know what? I had extra time to research and do homework. So this kind of lumps on to the, you know, when are you looking ahead? And I've peeped a couple of rest of season questions. I did the Rondon, Austin, Wilson one before. Right now, rest of season, Sadio Mane or Dimitri Payet?
Payet.
Really?
Yeah.
No, there's reason to believe that, you know, Liverpool is going to continue to score and
well, you know,
Mane.
You know what part of it is? Africa Cup of Nations.
Oh, well, that's true. I did forget about that. That's if his team qualifies and he goes further. Okay, so there's your answer.
great.
Cool.
Also, I think Payet creates, you know, so much more. I think he's back to leading the league after a brief period of not.
He leads the league in assists, yes.
Yeah, I was going to talk about chances created, but if it's both, then that's twice as nice. But yeah, I'd probably go Payet. I think Mane helps Liverpool in non-fantasy ways more. But like everything Payet does helps in fantasy.
Okay. I was just throwing out two like similarly priced midfielders that are very close in points for the season. And, you know,
also worth noting that I think it's close while Payet is not in great form and Mane is.
Yeah, that's true.
So I mean, the spread for me might actually be wider than it right now would represent.
I would give it to Payet as well because of his set piece ability. Yep. And I would take it away from Mane because I would rather probably own a Coutinho at a cheaper price.
Or even a Firmino at a cheaper price.
Nah, you wouldn't. Why would you want to do that?
I was going to say we're going to get into it, but he's not actually in my start sets. I'll tell you why. Because Firmino leads them in shots on target and chances created, and is only a few behind in wait, what's the other one?
Awful haircuts. Awful haircuts.
Wait. I just muffed all of that. Hold on. I don't even remember which ones I said. I just feel like I got it wrong. So Firmino leads them in shots on. Nope, he does not. Coutinho leads in shots on target. Yeah. Anyway,
There's an interesting one.
Yeah. Well, Coutinho just shoots all the time. So in theory, he's a volume shooter. He's a who's a good baseball. He's the CH Rhys Davis. while Firmino is their completely blanked third baseman. Played short a bit for them this year.
Who?
The Orioles.
Manny Machado.
There it is. Yeah, you know, you got to isolate your pitches better. You know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does it? Probably not. Okay.
No.
Now we're gonna move into start sit. where I'm going to lead off with Troy Deeney. Just 7.1 cost. Just 8.5% owned. Worked really well with Isaac's success. Hopefully he is back and fit. We'll see. He still has that little caution cone on him. But Hull are the second worst defense on the road in the Premier League behind Leicester, which I'm not sure some people are aware of. But Hull, or not Hull, yes, Hull. What is happening to me right now? Hull are conceding almost 4 goals per match over the last 5, pretty much at this point. Do you want to start anyone that's playing against Hull in midfield? Dusan Tadic. I've seen a lot of people kind of promoting the Redmond hype this week, with him starting to be more and more influential. But it's actually Tadic who is in the top 10 in shots on target, key passes, and successful crosses. But he only has 1 goal and 1 assist. This is another guy kind of like Townsend, where, you know, that has to normalize soon. Southampton are 5th in the form table after a very tough run, and now it gets not tough. They'll face just 2 defenses in the top 10 before 2017 begins. In defense, I like Arsenal, Bournemouth, and Tottenham. Tottenham also facing Leicester, who are the 3rd worst away attack. So basically, Leicester, really awful away from home. Their entire team is Jorginho Wijnaldum of last season. So now we will turn to you for your starts and sits of the week.
My starts, we got into a little bit of debate before, so I'm gonna keep it. I'll usually start in defense, but I'm going to start it forward. We talked about it before with Sergio Aguero. My start of the week is Kelechi Iheanacho. I think they come out with him from the beginning this week. I know it's a gamble, and you probably wouldn't ever do it, but he's somebody I'm looking at that actually could come in and shake up your fantasy team. He's already got 14,000 transfers in this week. It's only Tuesday. You'll hear this on Wednesday, so it'll probably be closer to 20 by then. Listen, if he comes in and starts the game and he scores, yeah, his ownership is going to spike next week because there's going to be an outcry for it. Pep's going to realize something's working, and he's going to implement the two-striker approach because I think it helps Aguero. I think it draws defenders away because I think Iheanacho is enough of a talent, enough of a striker that people know of that they have to basically pay attention to him. Through the midfield, I'm going opposite of what Kevin said and playing who's playing Southampton. I'm taking a Chelsea midfielder, but it's not Hazard, it's not Willian, it's not Pedro.
Wait, I didn't say it's to not play somebody against Southampton. Southampton have the third best defense in the Premier League.
No, you said Tadic. I'm going with a Chelsea midfielder, and it's not Willian, it's not Hazard, it's not Conte. It's Nemanja Matic.
Oh no.
Hey, at his price at 5.5. This is where I'm going.
He's on three assists now?
He's tied for the league lead with four now. Mm. He's tied with Dimitri Payet. And the one thing that I'm going to say about this is his playing time is not in question like any other questionable midfielder for Chelsea. Pedro's not going to play this week probably. You know, who's Cesc Fabregas? He's not even existent anymore. You know, the only two guys in the midfield for Chelsea that I can say would actually start from every week now from now to the end of the season are Matic and Conte. Because there's going to be games where Hazard gets games off.
Oh, and he might get suspended. That's fair. Yeah, and absolutely. I will say, kind of following the Joe Allen thing, everybody that's familiar with Nemanja Matic may keep thinking of him as the holding midfielder, but they are using Conte in that role. So he is getting forward a bit more. I do not think this is sustainable, but his positioning is different than it was last year.
Yeah, he's allowed to move forward because also behind Conte is David Luiz, who's basically like another holding midfielder. So basically, hit three in a row.
Crazy person.
Yeah, so Nemanja Matic, he's got four assists. I think it continues. I think maybe he does something good this week. On defense, Kevin mentioned all the good defenders to look at this week. I like going for sneaky guys. How about a Stoke defender? We went over their upcoming fixture: Swansea, West Ham, Bournemouth, Watford, Burnley. How about a Jeff Cameron?
I was thinking Peters if you were going to go Stoke, but yeah, interesting.
The reason I like Jeff Cameron is Stoke played a flatter defense system, and Jeff Cameron was actually playing a midfield role there. You're going to get him at a defensive value at 4.4, and he could continue to contribute on the forward approach because, you know, they're playing a little bit more advanced. Stoke is actually scoring goals because they have guys who can actually score, like Joe Allen, and Zlatan Shaqiri is actually healthy. So look for him. Another guy like
America.
There you go. Go America. And another guy I like Watford defense this week. Jonas Kabul, 4.4. They got back to back cleans, and if you're trying to catch up to someone who has a Jose Holabas, Jonas Kabul seems like an anti Holabas move to me. So they're playing Hull. You know, he'd be a good rotation guy to mix in for your fourth or fifth defender. Onto my sits, Kev. Should I just go right into my sits? Would that be greedy and taking over everything?
Hey man, that's my gig, but I'll allow it for now.
Yeah. On defense, I don't like Leicester or United defenses this week. Christian Fuchs scored a goal last week. Good for him. United defense, they lost Bailly. I think they lose a lot of athleticism there, and I think they're going to get exposed this week. I think Burnley actually scores. Anybody want to takes a random gamble on some Sam Vokes glove? Go for it. He's got two goals in his last, what, two games? Two goals in the last three games?
But now Gray's back to take his job.
Yeah, I don't think Gray starts.
Interesting. Although Vokes typically does play with him, but yeah. He just wouldn't be as advanced if they play together. But yeah, that is an interesting call.
Yeah, they do play high low. Through the midfield, this guy got a lot of love in the transfer market because he scored two goals, and he's on Spurs. Dele Alli had two goals in the last three games. Right, yeah, two goals because he's had back-to-back games with goals. You know, he's popular, and I don't see it. I'm not buying into it at 8.2. I'd rather own a Liverpool midfielder over anybody on Spurs, and they're all similarly priced, the Eriksons, Dele Alli, you know, Coutinho, Firmino, in that bracket. So I'm not trusting the Spurs midfielder. Mm-hmm. Up top, Kevin said it before. He says he thinks Benteke's going to score this week. I think Crystal Palace is all thumbs right now, and I don't think they find anything close to the net against Liverpool. I know it's a revenge game for Benteke, and he's going against his former club. I just don't see it. I'm a Benteke owner, and I would love to see it, but I just don't see it. Like I said, I think Crystal Palace is just lost in their mind, if I want to pull out a whole – isn't that a song by yeah, it is. I can't think of who sings it. But anyway – But I don't trust Crystal Palace against Liverpool even at home. I know Crystal Palace plays better differently at home, but I still don't trust it. I think Liverpool goes up early and coasts. Kev, sits, go.
Yeah, Negredo for Middlesbrough is still owned in almost 15% of leagues. He has 3 shots on target in his last 5 matches.
He might not even start this week.
He might not. I still think he will, but he shouldn't. And they're up against Bournemouth's defense, which we both like. Percentage is too high. Price is too high. Doing too little. Easy, easy drop for me. Kamu in midfield, 41% owned. What? How is this still happening? We told you to switch from him to Joe Allen, or even potentially Ryan Mason, who's been putting a surprising amount of shots on target.
Or Junior.
Get the heck off Etienne Capoue, please. In defense, I already alluded to it. I don't know if it was on air or off air, but Manchester United actually have the second worst defense over the last 5 matches, conceding 9 goals. So not a huge fan of them. I think Swansea Stoke ends up being a poor man's gold fest. And Crystal Palace they have no clean sheets this entire season, which is crazy to me.
They don't have a clean sheet in their last 19.
Wow. Yeah, I think they only finished with 8 last year.
Yeah, they don't have one.
To be fair, they've been doing it without Scott Dan, but I don't think he's going to be back in time for this one. So,
yeah,
not a fan of that at all.
Yeah. I mean, no goal, no cleans in 19 is that's pretty bad. That's half a season.
That's real bad. Significantly not great. All right, now we can talk about our teams a little bit. I have already made 2 transfers. Everybody told me to wait until the midweek matches. I just couldn't because people were going to drop in price. I have shipped out Snodgrass and Ibrahimovic, who I held on to for this long because I kept believing, and have brought in Austin, who I told everybody I was going to bring in anyway. And brought in my love boy, Roberto Firmino, for Snodgrass. Leaves me with another 1.9 in the bank that I will use at some point to get Lamina Kone out of my team. He's still my last sub on my bench. It's absolutely ridiculous. Pereira also doing nothing for me at the moment. Also, my buy-in of Coleman, because of their good matches, netted me very, very little aside from 1 goal, which is not typically what you want from your defenders. You making any changes this week?
Yeah, I had 2 transfers because I didn't do anything last week. I needed to kind of right the ship and kind of bank 2 instead of taking 2 and taking a minus. So I bit the bullet and did okay last week. I basically got league average. But yeah, I needed to make some changes in my team. I already brought in Charlie Daniels on defense, and I brought in Philippe Coutinho in the midfield. I dropped West Brom defender.
I have Smith. You have Daniels. I have Firmino. You have Coutinho. This is going to be fun.
so that those are my 2 transfers. I'm contemplating making a 3rd because I still have Snodgrass on my team, and he's probably not going to play. I don't like sitting with a guy on my bench that's definitely not going to play. Yeah, I know. So it's either that and hope that, you know, I don't get involved into that many subs. So, yeah, but I'm rolling with Dini, Aguero, Benteke up top. So, you know, I don't really need a 4th mid. I don't really need a 5th midfielder. So I'll roll with that. That's my team. It's awful. But anyway, I power on.
On to next week or whatever Bill Belichick says all the time. What was it? On to Seattle or on to – I don't remember what that was. Anyway.
All I know is it wasn't on Wisconsin.
Correct. Who are you going captain-wise this week?
Captain-wise, geez. I mean, Alexis Sanchez looks tempting. Even Coutinho looks tempting. Yeah, it'd probably be one of those 2 right now currently for me. And Payet's not awful either. He'd be a good differential play this week. Against Everton, I think he probably gets a set-piece look here.
Yeah, I am still a little hesitant against Everton, currently the second best defense in the Premier League. What a job Koeman's done since going there. I'm, out of my team, kind of looking Ozil against Sunderland, although I must say I'm still very concerned at the lack of chances he's creating this year. Last year, hilariously ran away with that and the assist crown. Not doing nearly as much creatively this year, which is a little strange, but his goal rate is up this year. Mm-hmm. Just not sure I like the direction of that trend, but Sunderland are just so poor. I'm thinking that should outweigh that. Not really a fan of the other ones. Firmino against Palace, I could see, especially with no Scott Dan. The one downside on Firmino is that he's still roaming the pitch a lot, so he isn't just always waiting to score goals as you'd expect somebody further up the pitch to typically do. This is going to sound crazy, but you know how last week was like a defensive showcase? Yeah. There were like six or seven clean sheets. It was crazy. Have you ever, except for that one weird double game week where I think you said you were going to or you actually did, have you ever thought about captaining a defender?
I can't say I have. I thought about it last year. I know what you're referencing. It was because I was trying to make up points at the end of the season because I was trailing in my mini league by like 14 or 15 points. And I was going to be trying to be different because I knew he was going to captain like Aguero or Sanchez, and United had really two really good fixtures, and I was going to captain Antonio Valencia. That was my move, and I didn't. I ended up not doing it. I ended up captaining Kevin De Bruyne, but yeah. I mean, have I thought about it? Yes. Have I done it? No. I mean, implementation and thought are two different things, you know.
Yeah. Fair enough. I just think it's starting to get interesting. By the way, last week it was 9. I looked it up while you were talking. Almost half the league had clean sheets last week,
yeah.
Which really frustrated me because I got my sneaky ones with Smith and Holobas, and then so many big teams kept their clean sheets as well. I was like, oh, well. Like Tottenham and Arsenal both kept clean sheets. I was like,
The funny thing is in DFS in the on the Saturday slates there was only 2 goals at halftime for all six.
I told you I watched 5 matches this week and saw 4 goals. It was the worst.
That
is bad. It was real bad. It was very frustrating.
So I know people are going to listen to this tomorrow and the first game will be over, but Kev, who do you have in the World Series?
Ooh, tonight. I just think that the engines are running too hot for the Indians right now at home. And they have Klubs going, right?
Yeah, Kluber, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say Indians. You know, there might be some runs in this. I'm going to say Indians 4-2.
No, I mean, how many games do you think they're going
to play? Oh, snap. Oh, for the series.
Yeah, I don't care about tonight's game. I mean, overall.
Man, I'm so torn on this. So many influential people in my life are on opposite sides of this. As a Pittsburgh fan, tend to want Cleveland to do badly. As a Pirates fan, want the Cubs to do badly because they're in our division. Both have history that they're trying to write. You know what? The Cubs are going to be good for the next freaking decade. Let's give it to the Indians. Let's make them title town twice in 2016. They already got their NBA title. Let's see them get a baseball title. I'll go Indians in 7.
Yeah, I have Indians in 6. So I think, and Kluber is going to get MVP because he's going to be able to pitch 3 games because of the extra day off. Because of the television they want to maximize. So he gets an extra – well, it's not really an extra day off, but he gets 3 days rest. He's going to be pitching on 3 days rest. So, yeah. I got Indians in 6, Kluber the MVP, and bring – like Kevin said, it brings another title to Believe Land. And Kev, which is closer to you? I know you're in Lexington,
Kentucky. Oh, interesting.
Is Cleveland closer or is Chicago closer? Because I'm trying to think of it in my head geographically, and it's probably pretty close.
Yeah, I'd imagine it is. Okay, Lexington to Cleveland is 331.8 miles.
Yes, it's like 6 hours.
Yep. And Lexington to Chi-Town is... I feel like that's 6 hours. Yeah, 375. Cleveland.
So Cleveland's 30 miles closer.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, the Chicago drive was around 6 hours, so I probably should have been able to deduce that. But yeah. So
Kevin's a homer is basically what his world series because he's a homer.
God, man. I'm such a homer. I can't believe it. Also, I feel like I have to root for the Indians because of how much flack I catch for always running chalk on stuff. So We'll go with the Indians. I'll have to shut down the Cubs hitting. The story is neat, I guess, but I don't think Schwarber's ready for this kind of pitching.
I agree.
I don't know, man. How do you think Salazar is going to be used as the player on the Indians that's randomly healthy for the World Series?
I think he's going to be. I don't think he gets a start in the game. If he gets a start, it's because Bauer is not over his finger injury, or they're desperate to get some lightning in a bottle out of him. I think he's going to be used as a power arm because I don't think he's going to be able to throw more than 60 to 70 pitches in a game, or that's what I've been reading. He's got tons of movement on his pitches. He'd be a great bullpen pitcher if that's all he could do. But he's a starter in real life. But how could you not, with his movement and the way he changes speeds, put him as the right-handed player in front of Miller or the branch between Brian Shaw and Miller if you want to double up on right-handers with differences, because Shaw is a little bit different than Salazar is. So I could see him being used in a high leverage situation, probably for maybe a whole inning or one or two batters, just because of what he does and what he can do to batters, keeping them off balance with his changing of speeds.
And I think he's very good insurance in case they do start Bauer and his finger opens up again.
Yep.
Like having him around for that would definitely be helpful.
I think that's exactly why he's probably on the roster. He's a just-in-case starter, but I think he's probably going to be used. Tito's one of the best bullpen managers that I've ever seen. So he knows how to get the most out of guys that are pitching well and picking their spots. Tito is a disciple of the game, especially when it comes to matchups. So he's going to use that bullpen explicitly for exact purposes. Like, he already knows exactly who's going to pitch to who, when and why and where. So we'll probably see it tonight. Hopefully, Cleveland does something, but if Kluber does well and the Indians bullpen pitches like we've seen them, Miller and Cody Allen, they've got two games just by them doing that.
Yeah, and I will hit you with a random sports question: who wins the Super Bowl in February?
Who wins the Super Bowl in February? I'm saying I think it'll be a surprise. It's tough though, because the NFL season is still in its infinitesimal infant stages. That's like forever. I think it's going to be somebody that everybody looks at like the Cowboys because of their record. I don't think it's going to be them. The Patriots are probably the favorite, I would say, right now on everybody's board. Yeah. I'll say Patriots over. I'm trying to think of a weird obtuse team that could probably do something.
The Falcons, who have been ridiculous offensively but can't stop anyone defensively.
Yeah, the Falcons came into my mind, but if the season ended right, if it was right now and I had to pick a Super Bowl winner, I'd probably pick the Patriots.
Yeah, hard to argue with that, and I'll tell you why.
It pains me
so much as well, but I think the difference for them is how well LeGarrette Blount's been running.
Absolutely.
So that adds a facet to their attack that they hadn't really been able to do. And I don't think Deion Lewis is going to supplant him immediately. I don't think you can take Blount out the way he's been playing right now.
No, but look at what James White's doing. Deion Lewis is basically going to give you the same thing that James White is doing.
Yep.
And if anybody's playing fantasy football right now and they haven't realized that James White is the goods, you're about 3 weeks too late.
Yeah, he's probably already been picked up, but maybe you're in a crap league. Maybe he's still there for you. All right, well, that'll do it for us. So, Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
You can find me on Twitter at Smokey_Loogie. You can find my writings on Razzball.com. Click on the cute little black and white soccer ball. I got all my insights, transfer news, rankings, and what have you, kind of in a joking format, because if you can't laugh at fantasy and how your futileness in fantasy, then you shouldn't be reading my stuff, because I'll make fun of you and do it in a good way, and then we'll be friends and then we'll have a beer and make a secret handshake and live in my treehouse.
I am at Kevroff on Twitter. You can reach us at EPL Roundtable. Just put fantasy in your tagline, or you can just get us on Twitter. That also works. What else? TheEaglesWeek.com, weekly article. What else do we do? The VIP bet stuff.
Probably more stuff. Just check out EPL Roundtable for our fantasy show, which is this. You already listened to it. Good job. And then also the Championship Roundtable and the EPL Roundtable. All good content from us. And you can also hear us over on allinsportstalk.com or at allinsportstalk on Twitter or their app, which I think is available in both stores as well. That will do it for us today. Best of luck to your teams, and we'll catch you next week.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.